Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
On May 16th, 2025, the owners of the property located on 5500 Dogwood Drive submitted a variance request to keep a recently constructed 8-foot privacy fence along the northern interior side yard and rear yard of the residential parcel. The applicant is requesting approval to build an 8-foot privacy fence along the northern and interior side and rear yards of the parcel. The applicant stated that the request is needed due to the existing masonry wall that enables the dogs to climb over a standard 6-foot privacy fence and the need for increased privacy from adjacent neighbors. The variance requested pertains to Article 9.3, which pertains to accessory structures and uses and regulates fences in residential districts. Under this article, fences are permitted in the side and rear yards up to 6 feet in height.
Okay, now, I know, as you're listening to this, you're thinking, I don't even understand why this is the days of our Milton. But what have you learned over the years with me? What's the number one thing I always say when it comes to days of our Milton? John, you live in Milton.
Oh, there's going to be a payoff.
Yeah.
And I can't wait.
Trust me.
Yes.
Just trust me. This is the background. And if you want to know what happened here, okay, this is actually from the Board of Adjustments meeting. God help me, I'm watching the Board of Adjustments meeting now.
Wow. I'm so proud of you. Our boys growing up.
Oh, man. There's no end. Talk about going down a rabbit hole. Okay, so what happened is at the prior meeting, at the work session, the mayor of Milton had put out this letter, this incredibly weird letter in which she talks about going to the Board of Adjustments meeting in order to participate in the discussion of whether to grant a variance on the fence height ordinance on Dogwood Drive so that one neighbor who has a very, 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 very jumpy dog and does not believe that a 6-foot fence will control his dog and he wants to build an 8-foot fence instead, started building the 8-foot fence, and then the other neighbor said, "What the hell? You can't do that here." And told him to stop, and then the city told him to stop, and so they come to the Board of Adjustment. Now, this is the second Board of Adjustment. They'd been at this one already. They tabled it, and they'd come back. So the second pass at this issue. And somehow in the process, looking at the mayor's letter, we've got an applicant that talks about having MRSA. Why is he allowed to be at the meeting? We've got allegations of perverted behavior. We've got nudism. We've got... We've got the mayor highlighting that one of the members of the Board of Adjustment, how dare she, rolled her eyes at one of the city council members who showed up. That's right. Not one city council member, but one city council member and Mayor Heather Lindsay and another city council member wrote a letter to the Board of Adjustment weighing in on the vital public issue of whether to have the variance to allow the 8-foot fence to be built in order to restrain the dog and prevent the backyard camera from peep spying on the nudists next door. I mean, like, what? Yeah, that's all in the letter. So from my point of view, the biggest what in the world here is, why on earth are three city council members taking it upon themselves to intervene, meddle, put their hand on the scale on a Board of Adjustments variance request hearing? Like, that's super weird. Unless maybe the people involved on the one side of the issue happen to have friends in City Hall and thought, well, I'll call my friends in City Hall and we'll see if we can. Now, I don't know if that's true. I have heard that that is true. There are allegations that that is true. But like Milton, there's a lot of things that are said. But it seems to fit the pattern. You know, like how otherwise, again, Sunshine, they can't like talk to each other about how they need to go to this Board of Adjustments meeting. Or, I don't know, maybe they could because it would never come before them as a voting matter because Board of Adjustments rulings don't go anywhere other than court. So maybe they could collude to go to this meeting legally under the sunshine. I don't know. It's just weird. It's like when the dock workers are having a union meeting and the vice president and the president and the CFO of the company show up. It's weird. Like it's never happened. Okay, so I wanted to go and watch the meeting. What's that, John? You're grinning over here like
I know it's coming.
It's
yes.
Super weird. Okay,
it is.
So, in order to if you really want to dig into why or why not to grant the variance on the height of the fence, it has to do with certain particular criteria that they have to meet, and one of the key things that has to create a hardship in order to not vary the ordinance, there has to be a hardship on the owner, and the hardship has to be not self-inflicted. So the question of whether this hardship of having this dog that's going to jump the fence and then get killed on Dogwood Drive is the most likely outcome of that is, was that hardship preventable, other ways, knowable in advance, a byproduct of some city regulation or other? Could they have known the structure was likely to do this on its own? You know, otherwise you don't vary the ordinance unless there's some not just benefit to the person, but a real kind of flaw in the system is sort of the idea. Because if there's an ordinance, there's an ordinance. And just because somebody wants to exempt the ordinance, you don't just change it for them. Otherwise, you don't have an ordinance. All right, so Howard Steele, who is generally one of the most vehement opponents of the mayor and her people, and or her city council people who are aligned with her, he basically says, look, in this case, he's like on her side. It's on her side yet, but you know, it turns out she actually praises him in the letter, which is super weird. But here you go. He says he's on the board and he says, look, if somebody comes along again and has a jumpy dog and wants privacy, they can ask for variance and we have to give it to them. So this is a bad precedent to set. Marilyn Farrow, one of the city council members, writes a letter that she requests be read out loud.
We have a statement from a council person that sent an email that requested this to be read into the record.
So she does, and she goes through a long list of the reasons she thinks the variance on the wall, the 2-foot extra height, should not be allowed. And she ends it by saying,
the views and opinions expressed here are my own and do not necessarily represent those of the city of Milton.
Okay, but you can't write a letter as a city council person and just say, magic wand wave, I'm just talking as myself. You've intruded. You've meddled. Okay? And that's the lightest of the meddling, by the way. But even she recognizes there's something squirrely about me putting myself in the middle of this because I'm a city council member. And so she's reminding them, which you would think is a noble thing. I'm reminding you that don't take my opinions as a city council member. I'm just little old Marilyn. You know, I'm just the neighbor. Yeah, but you can't never be not the city councilman. You always are. So then they have this conversation about the fence. And the one neighbor, the Hawthorns, are the ones who don't want the fence variance. And so they keep providing all the, here's all the different things, all the different kinds of things you could do to help your dog. And apparently it's not just direct climbing a 6-foot fence. It's there's some kind of a ledge around a shed, and he gets on the shed ledge, and then he gets an angle up. And he's a very creative dog, even though he's never been to this property. So suggestions or requests are things like, well, if we do grant this variance, you're only going to have it as long as the dog's alive, right?
Objections and concerns that we have. Will this be a forever 8-foot fence, if authorized, long after the dog has passed away?
We want the dead dog variance asterisk footnote that if the dog dies, you have to take down the fence. And again, there are allegations about the camera pointing from the Hawthorns into the name is Schreckengast is the name of the other family. That's the one with the dog pointing into their yard.
This also cuts off the airflow on our back and side yard, being 8-foot tall. Number 7, our camera does not point at their house.
So just to keep the context, all the different things that they're saying, and then look, if you you know, if you want to take your dog in the backyard instead of asking for a variance, why don't you?
Previous owners, the two previous owners had dogs. They used a leash. We also have three small dogs, and we go out each time with them to do their business.
Maybe you should just use a leash instead of letting your dog run free in your yard. Which, I mean, I suppose is possible, but usually if you've got a dog in the yard, you want to let him run free. That's why you buy it. And maybe if you have a dog that, you know, runs around and jumps and is, you know, beyond control.
Number three proposal would be just a dog pen. And the last proposal would be actual proper training.
Just train your dog, bro. Which is a pretty amazingly rude thing to say, but okay, fine.
Reason for this camera was several years ago, the previous owner shot and killed an individual in the backyard, and one of the bullets lodged in a telephone pole.
So they were told, get a camera for your backyard. It's not because we're trying to peep at the neighbors. It's because, you know, we have reasons based on the history of the property. So now we're talking about dog jump fence variance request in former murder yard neighborhood. Nudist pervert MRSA.
You train them better. Make this up, man.
In the Pensacola experience that I had,
Mayor Lindsay,
it was
shows up
frequent that variances were denied because the circumstances were self-created.
So this is a self-inflicted problem. Again, she's there as just a person. When she introduces herself, she says, I'm Heather Lindsay, and then she talks about being the attorney in Pensacola, which was her former job, one of the assistant city attorneys, and saying that, you know, but she doesn't ever say she's the mayor. Like, it's assumed you would know, which is not a terrible assumption, but she doesn't ever say she's the mayor. She just talks about being an expert, you know, in the law because of her experiences in Pensacola, and don't set a precedent if you do this. And, you know, if you don't like the law, come to city council, we'll change it. And
so, again, I'm here as a resident and nearby and also as a lawyer, and those are my comments offered in that spirit alone. I don't speak on behalf of this government.
Even though she didn't explain who she was, which is interesting because the Schreckengoss didn't know she was the mayor. They're new to town. They just moved in. They're trying to get a variance on this house that they haven't even started living in yet because of the dog thing. So they don't know who she is, but she is explaining that she's not with the government. Second member of council there, not with the government officially. Then Larry McKee, another city council member.
Please give us your name again and address.
Still is Larry McKee. First off, it's not often I have to say this, but I agree with you, Howard.
Which is, yeah, a little unusual because he's been on the other side. But then he says, be careful of the road you go down. Don't make a precedent
and
here.
I agree with the mayor. We really need to be very careful what the road we're going to go down, because setting a precedent right now to say.
So, and keep in context that they have been working on this code of conduct for board members, the code of conduct, which says things like you can't disparage city council members. You should, you know, talk pleasantly and say nice things, basically. And if you don't do your job, we can remove you from boards. So you've got lingering in the background this vaguely menacing threat that board members are going to get removed that they don't think are doing their jobs or aren't being kind to each other or saying mean things. And now you've got Board of Adjustment members hearing a case where three city council members are weighing in, telling them, be careful, you better do, you know, you better do the right thing here. And all three of them are siding with the Hawthorns. You start to see how this would feel if you're on the Board of Adjustments. Well, then you get to Wade Schreckengoss, and he's talking about, you know, stopping construction and all of, and you'll see why this is kind of sort of semi-humorously relevant.
I kind of took a hint from Ian that said, you know, we shouldn't do any more construction, so, you know, we stopped. I have been dealing with some widespread MRSA infections for the past 2.5 months. I still have it on my arm. I'm taking antibiotics that says I'm not supposed to be out in the sun for any length of time. I'm sorry I haven't been able to keep up with the weeds. They will be dealt with. I promise you, as God is my witness standing in front of you today, those weeds will be dealt with.
So which seat was he sitting in? I understand the concern about somebody with MRSA showing up at the meeting with the wound open. I don't know if it's contagious, but, you know, I don't want to hug him, you know, personally.
The issue with privacy, there are some pictures in there of their camera that is now aimed and proven to be aimed at their rear gate. You can look at the timestamp of my pictures of where their camera is aimed. It has changed over time. Not sure why. We can only speculate.
Used to be pointed at the back. Now it's pointed at our yard because...
Some of my medical conditions, I sweat profusely. When I'm outside doing anything, I look at the sun and I'm instantly sweating. I don't wear a shirt when I'm out there, and I don't feel comfortable with the neighbor referencing me being a nudist or being part of a nudist colony. I think that's way beyond a neighborly gesture, and I don't appreciate that. We tried to be friendly with them and just kind of laugh it off, but with the camera being aimed in my direction, I think the whole perverted comments from the neighbor are a little over the top.
I'm going to leave you with that one for now. Because...
you can't make this up.
Well, he leads the hour with this boring as whatever, the variance and the fence side. And at the end of the half hour, it's nudism and sweaty people and pointy cameras and perverts and MRSA and wait till the dog dies. And okay, so like often happens with Milton, what do I say? That's act one. And there's more to come later. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
VapoCool! Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
This incident is going down on your permanent record. A record that's going to follow you throughout your entire life.
I would love to get a copy of my permanent record.
Oh, me too. Because it's followed me my entire life.
I just want to know.
Oh, I bet we can find out a lot of things about Andrew.
528 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, House Democrats on the Oversight Committee now releasing some new material that reportedly links Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein, posting a page out of a 2003 birthday book.
A nudie pic drawing. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. The conversation is
apparently just imaginary between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, but it's drawn, I don't know, Shel Silverstein style or something down the middle of a page within the outline of a girl who the drawing includes kind of a cleavage sort of curves. And then at the bottom, where it signed Donald Trump, the signature, you know how his signature looks? It looks like just a bunch of up and down jaggedy jags. Well, that's right in the place where her, like, you know where her legs come together? So,
explain more.
So the signature of Donald Trump looks like.
Yes.
Anyway, now they say it's all fake, but I mean, I actually thought it was funny. I thought it was, you know, it was dumb guy stuff is what it looked like to me.
But it does raise
the question of why exactly is the, at the time, not the president yet, writing a sort of vulgar, funny picture poem to child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein, right? So
yeah, it definitely raises some questions.
You got another one for me?
Oh, do we have enough time for another one?
I'd love to just show you the picture, but I cannot because it is, you know, radio. So the signature, you see, is...
Fox News, I'm Ted Lindner. President Trump gets a legal win from the Supreme Court following their push to conduct immigration operations in L.A. U.S. Attorney Bill Asaley.
Our officers do not target people based on race. They use what's called reasonable suspicion.
And the dissenting opinion, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, says people who were handcuffed because of their looks. Jury selection underway in Florida for the man accused of attempting to shoot then-presidential candidate Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago last September.
Ryan Roof, acting as his own attorney, introduced himself to the first 60 potential jurors, saying he was the defendant and he was, quote, sorry to bring you all in here. He is, along with prosecutors this week, selecting a jury of 12 plus four alternates to hear evidence against him.
That's Fox's Grinnell Scott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 71 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy this morning. We've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in just a few minutes. First, a look at our headlines. Three people seriously injured in a crash yesterday on 9th Avenue in Pensacola. Happened about 8 p.m. PPD says that three victims were trauma alerted to a local hospital. 9th Avenue was closed between Keating and Creighton at the time. As of this morning, it appears to have reopened to traffic. So far, we don't have an update on the victim's condition or new information on that crash, but we will let you know when we learn more about that. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office receiving special recognition yesterday in Tallahassee for their bloodhound tracking dogs. Sheriff Bob Johnson says all the handlers and the dogs were there in Tallahassee to receive the award.
I think we're up to five.
Oh, wow.
And then, the road dogs, I think we have about 10 road dogs. And then, of course, we have a bomb dog and an electronics dog, plus a narcotics dog just for the school and a narcotics dog just for the jail.
And Johnson says the team was recognized because their bloodhounds were able to rescue more children than any other agency across the state. Of course, he says he's proud of all the guys and the dogs because, as he says, they are great people and great animals as well. Now, the Haji Shrine in Pensacola was full of activity over the weekend. Gumbo pots simmering, steak sizzling. It was the Cajun cook-off. The event not only showcased culinary skills, but also raised money to support the Shriners Healthcare Network in Northwest Florida and beyond. Dozens of teams cooked up their most unique gumbo for the event. And the world-famous Brisket the Bull made an appearance. He's a rescued steer that worked at Loretta Lynn's ranch and on various television productions. A House task force on government transparency is holding a hearing today on unidentified flying objects.
The chair of the task force on the declassification of federal secrets issued a statement saying the American people deserve maximum transparency from the federal government on sightings, acquisitions, and examinations of UAPs and whether they pose a potential threat to American safety. Witness testimonies expected from Air Force and Navy veterans who have all previously discussed witnessing aerial phenomenon, as well as journalist George Knapp. Republican Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna of Florida has said she expects the hearing will have massive implications around the country. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you, Tammy. Well, tonight you can ask questions of some of our local lawmakers. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says it's a great turnout for the upcoming legislative session.
Escambia's legislative delegation. This is Representative Michelle Saltzman along with Alex Andrade and Senator Don Gates. Scheduled to meet this afternoon, 6 p.m., at the Molino Community Center. The meeting's designed to discuss policy proposals and appropriation requests in advance of the next legislative session. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And it's 5:35. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a lovely day today with a small 10% chance of rain, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70. Going into Thursday, sunny skies, high near 88 degrees and a low near 68. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, and it is 71 degrees, partly cloudy. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now a look at our pre-opening market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Pittsburgh-based PNC Bank is buying a competitor in Arizona and Colorado for $4.1 billion. The bank announced it is absorbing 95 First Bank branches and $27 billion in assets. First Bank has a leading market position in Colorado and a substantial presence in Arizona. The number of PNC branches in Colorado will more than triple to 120. NVIDIA-backed Mistral AI has clinched a $13.8 billion valuation in a Series C funding round that saw Dutch chip equipment maker ASML secure a major stake in the French firm. ASML gained an 11% shareholding in the French company on a fully diluted basis. A former Meta employee has sued the company over allegations that its WhatsApp messaging service contained cybersecurity failures that could compromise user privacy. A Meta spokesperson disputed the former employee's allegations in a statement and downplayed his role and ranking at the company. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans.
That this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more, and nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president.
So the president continues to maintain that there's nothing to see here. Move along. He said the Department of Justice has done their job thoroughly. There's no reason to release any more of the documents. They've already released all of them. I don't agree with any of that. And as I've told you many times, this is not my issue, but I watched the press conference with the victims and I don't understand where my party's at on this, and so we'll talk to Jimmy Patronis. He is a member of my party. He is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Congressman Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, let's start. Absolutely. Let's start with this one just because I think it's maybe the more challenging one. But if they do get a motion, do you plan to vote for this motion to release the documents? What's your position on the Epstein files?
Look, if there's something that creates transparency to make all this crazy dead pedophile issue go away, I'm fine to vote for it to just make it go away. If that means releasing it, what have you, I'm fine with it. But it's all consuming. And I hate that we've got a dead pedophile that is literally controlling the agenda of the United States Congress right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. What I can't explain is I can't explain why he's reluctant. I mean, you know, of course, the critics will speculate all the worst things, and I don't want to speculate. I just am baffled by it. But I'm with you, too. I want it to go away, but I also want to teach a lesson. You know, I want all the other abusers, I want all of the other victims to hear the right things. I want the abusers to be terrified, and I want the victims to be vindicated and heard and validated. And, you know, like you say,
this guy was arguably, if he wasn't a billionaire, he's probably close to it. I mean, I'm hoping if all these victims, I hope they're at least filing suit against his estate. I mean, there's other ways that they can try to at least work on making themselves whole. Again, whatever documentation that we've got, I know there was 33,000 pages that was dumped into the public domain last week, or at least pointed out where people could find it. You know, just flash for work. I just like working. And this definitely puts us in paralysis.
And I know a lot of times when we have you on, a lot of what we talk about is what President Trump is doing. Of course, you know, the premise is you're our closest guy. You know, you're in D.C.
Sure.
I'm mystified by the Department of War thing. I don't mind the name change. It's not a name. I like the old name. I thought it was a good name. I just don't understand why we'd spend, what, $1, maybe $2 billion for new pens and stationery and letterhead and nameplates and not go through Congress, which is kind of how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, so I was with the president Friday night. We talked about it. He had a group of us at the White House. There's probably about 15 of us. We were in the cabinet room, and he was asking us, he says, all right, so what do you think of it? You know, and I mean, the consensus is, look, if the guy's asking a question on the decision he's already made, you know, you're all going to be there in support of his idea. But, you know, now the next step is, all right, legislative action to move forward, and so there's some senators there, and is there 60 votes to do it? Well, you can't get 60 votes to do anything in the Senate. So, I mean, yeah, look, I think he's definitely trying to send a message. I don't think we're going to go out and declare war on anybody, but I think, you know, as the president was pointing out, he says, you know, when we were the Department of War, we were winning wars. You know, ever since World War II, we changed it. You know, the outcomes have been less than victorious. I mean, they've been pretty much, there have been messy, long, drawn-out conflicts. So, you know, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. I think I've got bigger things I like to fight for. If this is what the president wants, I'm good with it.
I also think it's just as an aside, it's kind of a weird, we're rebranding as war, and yet he's using the military, at least the National Guard, for domestic policing, which is very much not war. But then he sends this weird truth where he's got the Chipocalypse Now and we're going to show him what the Department of War means. It's just, we're in a weird spot.
I think that's part of what I think anybody is totally in their rights to do is on the weekend they can post, you know, things that could be a little more entertaining on social media.
Locally in Florida, you, of course, are well familiar with the fact that Joe Latipo, a Surgeon General, and, you know, by participation, of course, the governor, are now advocating for repealing all of the vaccine mandates that are not required by Florida statute. And it's not clear to me yet, but maybe all of the vaccine mandates, including things like measles, mumps, rubella, polio, diphtheria, tetanus. I am completely baffled by this. I understand that some are controversial, some are unproven, and some are decades of public health value, and I don't understand the position. I know the president even has said this, kind of has come back on the other direction on this. Whoa, that's kind of, I'm not sure about all that. What are your thoughts?
Right. So I think with what we've seen happen with the pharmaceutical industry, the cost of drugs, PBMs, there's all these cost drivers out there that really make it easy to hate on the pharmaceutical companies. So now you've put out there a COVID epidemic that we went through. People became very skeptical. Does this thing save me or not? Then you've got those that had heart issues, all these others. So to me, the pharmaceutical industry is a real easy target right to pick a fight with. And now you've got something that is being mandated that we do to our kids. So I think, you know, it's worth having the debate. I do think if you probably have a spike in measles, mumps, any of these things, I haven't looked at the data to see if there's been any irregularities with the type of encounter data, then, you know, then they make a very clear argument of their value, at least for public health and welfare. But, you know, like, I got all my shots. I feel normal. you know, my kids got all their shots. They're normal.
Right.
I do think there's a certain amount of conspiracy feeding into this. And it's a populist issue. I think there's those that truly believe it, and there's some that are just politicians out there trying to score points.
Yeah, and the surveys seem to indicate that about 80% of Floridians believe in mandatory vaccines for school access for kids, and only about 20% are with Joe Latipo. And that, I mean, that tracks with me, that there would only be about that percentage.
Yeah, and look, my wife had anxiety when we gave our boys shots. So then, you know, when I would take the boys to the doctor for the wellness shots, I would ask, so do we need to announce them again later? The doctor said, no, you can get them later. So we kicked some of the shots down the road and didn't give them their shots all at once, like, you know, sometimes maybe a little easier to do.
Yeah.
Did that make a difference? I don't know, but it made my wife and I feel a little more content that at least we had a decision in some of the mandatory health requirements for our kids.
Yeah, a little peace of mind, right? I sympathize with that for sure. I've been very curious to hear from people who know more about it than I do. The proposal to have an Ocala National Forest designation that would sweep up a bunch of kind of smaller parks in the Central Florida area, you know, we don't go down there, but it seems like a large area. If it preserves springs, I guess, then I'm sort of in favor of it, but I'm worried about taking land out of public. I don't know. Jimmy, you have, I know as the former CFO, I'm sure you have thoughts about this, and I'm curious.
Yeah, look, when I was on the cabinet, you know, we're trustee of overall state lands. And the one criticism that I've always had about the state of Florida, and these are noble ideas whenever we do land acquisition, but one thing the state of Florida never does, we never put enough money into maintaining the lands. We never give enough public access. So, mind you, we're going to take all this stuff. In this case, it's already off the tax rolls. But if we're going to give it a whole new layer of designation, it needs the resources. But by gosh, this is now under public trust. Arguably, in some cases, if it's new acquisitions, it's going to take properties off the tax rolls. So now there's going to be a change in the cost of living. It may be incremental, but just put aside the resources and a thoughtful budget to make sure the public can truly enjoy them. Roads, trails, hiking, all that should be, and especially where you have large swaths of land, hunting needs to be available, fishing needs to be available, but that's not always the case. So that's kind of like my prerequisite. The other thing you got to be sensitive to when you think about how large that area is, you're probably going to see some growth over the next few decades when it comes to traffic. You need to make sure you've taken into consideration you might need some easements in order to expand roads or create an overpass or for retention. And sometimes those can be, you know, permitting nightmares even for the government against the government.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point about how if we take land out and then it's never available for the public to use, that's just a loss for everybody. You can't develop it. You know, you can't do anything. And I even think about some of these national forests where, you know, I remember a couple of years ago we were in the concern about how do we even maintain access to them. And, you know, the access isn't even available because I love, like, old Florida. We are big fans of the springs and the rivers and going around and paddleboarding and looking at stuff. And, you know, if it preserves more of that so that we can enjoy what's always made Florida what it is, great. But if you don't, you know, provide for it to be able to be used, or as you say, make for, you know, thoughtful consideration of how that land might be valuable in other ways in the future, then, you know, that makes me skittish.
I mean, yeah, once you lock it up in that box, I mean, good luck getting it out to make any type of changes
right.
That give people other quality of life related issues. Like I said, the biggest thing is potential growth in those areas, and you might need a little extra right away for roads or highways, or and sometimes that means, you know, other environmental permitting requirements. So.
I have not asked you about this, but it I don't think I've asked you about this yet since you've been in office. But
we need some beef.
No, it's not. daylight savings time. There was an interesting article in USA Today talking about the efforts in all the states and in Congress. Of course, Florida was the first to pass the bill to make it permanent daylight time in Florida that requires Congress's consent. We can do it on our own if we make it permanent standard time. Matt would just never take up this bill. It needs a House sponsor. It's got both senators, or at least it had both senators. I don't know if Ashley Moody's on board in the Senate still. Are you going to take this up? Is this your issue? Have you been thinking about this at all?
Look, I would love to be in one time zone. But you know, I know Senator Scott had taken up the bill at one time. I've not gotten the latest on it. And I've always been advocate, pick one time and let's live in it. I do think there's a certain amount of quirkiness that I do like, because the central time zone to me has always been a part of the state that has been forgotten about. And sometimes it's okay to be forgotten about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jimmy, I'm sorry. I just want to – this isn't about eliminating the central time zone. This is about getting rid of the changing of the times from daylight to standard.
Time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I maybe miscommunicated.
I think both issues – just as easy as I got confused on where you were going with this, so does the public.
Yeah, they do.
The spring forward fallback, yeah, I'm done with that. I've been done with that for a long time. But, you know, I would not want to you know, rechange any of the boundary lines when it comes to daylight. So, I mean, central time zone.
The last thing that I'm going to ask you about is a serious thing that I did not even realize was happening, a law enforcement thing. I guess people are scamming by claiming that there's arrest warrants out for people from the FBI. Is that right?
Holy cow. I was in my office. I was in a meeting, and one of my guys comes in the office and says, he's got on speakerphone, an unknown number is, and the guy is incredibly official sounding, has it scripted down, was talking to my employee in a very understanding and compassionate way, but was a threat, sent them a document. If you go, we've got it on our Twitter file, our Twitter post, but sent him a document via text, which was an official looking document where it was basically going to go bond yourself out because of a civil proceedings that you were, so you wouldn't go to jail. Now I don't know how you would go to jail under civil proceedings. But this guy, I mean, they kind of worked it in enough areas of gray where if you weren't paying attention, you could be taken advantage of. But their delivery was so genuine.
Yeah.
Because most people are not lawbreakers. Okay. So bye bye. See you.
Your son going to school, I assume, right?
Yeah, I'm about to be right out the door with him. But it was super concerning. So just guys, look, you know, whenever you get a call from an unknown number, just disregard it. It was as soon as Jack hung up, I bet you they called him 15 times afterwards, wearing him out because they knew that he was, about to walk away from the circumstances.
We had another one here locally. There's a scam running around in Santa Rosa County where people are getting a phone call, and it's basically the same thing, except that it's real names of real people that work at the county, and they sound super official and super persistent. And it's crazy, some of this stuff
this
that people
true.
Are going through. Yeah.
I mean, there's so we've got so much of our personal information out in the public domain. I mean, it doesn't take much for somebody. This is why title theft and all these other transactions are so concerning, because all of our information is out in the public domain. With all these data breaches that you've had over the last 15 years, I mean, basically, they've put a pretty good dossier of who you are, where you live, and your contact information. All you got to do is, if you haven't done it, just go Google your own name and see
scary.
What comes up. You might need
super scary. All right, two quick things. We're totally out of time, but two quick things I want to get you to weigh in on. One is mockingbird, scrub jay, or flamingo? Which one?
Flamingo.
Is flamingo.
All day long.
All right.
Get rid of those others. It's so stupid. Flamingo. When you see Florida, you think of flamingo.
You do. And then the last thing, it is Star Trek Day, and we were having this discussion in office where John, my producer, and my news guy cannot make the Vulcan V with their fingers, and I think all normal human beings
can.
Of course, thank you.
I'm doing it right now. I'm on the phone. I'm a trucker. Big nice. Time. I never. You ask my wife. I mean, it's usually what I'm falling asleep to. I miss the series.
I love it.
Yeah, William Shatner. He's in his 90s. He was almost the same age as my dad.
Oh man. Okay. No, that's sobering. Okay.
Don't get me started.
You can do it. That's all I wanted to know is you can do it. I appreciate that. Jimmy Patron is our congressman for Florida District, Northwest Florida District 1. Sir, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
And by the way, that that Vulcan V, I have so many people yesterday telling me that that was the conversation they were asking other people about all day. I did.
Really?
I did it at home. I asked my wife. I said, can you make the Spock V? And she's like, it wasn't quite as like, paralyzed looking as yours was, John.
I know. Talisha did it for me last night.
But then she put her hand on the table, like all fingers down, palm down, and she lifted up her like ring finger, and she's like, but can you do that? And I'm like, a little. She's like, that's piano, baby.
Uh-huh.
So it's all trained muscle movement. Oh my God, the number of people. That was even, I think somebody else had told me that they were like at work, they were asking people and they cried. So, you know, that turned out to be your funny topic of the day yesterday, inadvertently. Also, William Shatner is 94 years young.
Wow.
That's amazing. He
looks good for 94.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he was older, but you would never get, he doesn't look like any, he's almost old enough to be president.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. You are invited to bring a blanket and a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, check out Count the Years. They're a high-energy cover band that takes audiences on a musical journey through the decades, from synthesized 80s to today's chart toppers. It's all happening at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along all night. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed. Stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Long live the revolution.
Good morning, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hello, good morning.
David?
Let's see here. President Trump weighing a possible federal takeover of the 9/11 Memorial and Museum in New York City as the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks approaches. White House officials say the idea is still in the exploratory stages. It remains unclear how the federal government could assume control of a nonprofit-run site. Worker confidence finding a new job, Andrew, is now reportedly dropped to the lowest level on record. That's at least according to a new survey from the New York Federal Reserve. Just 45% of U.S. workers say now that they believe they could land another job. That's down 6 points from July. Of course, as hiring has slowed nationwide.
The confidence is even higher if you happen to be somebody who's capable of setting up a manufacturing facility anywhere near the Hyundai plant in Georgia and were born in this country.
Because
suddenly there's a lot of jobs for people like you. Did you know part of that story is that it takes like 5 years to train people to be able to do the kinds of jobs that these folks were specialized in doing?
Yeah,
that's why they were hired to come in. Of course, and that's why under the HB1 visa or whatever, that was allowed, perfectly allowed. And yet the allegation on the other side is, well, they were doing other stuff as well. You know, they were setting up the manufacturing facility with the specialized labor, but, you know, they were also changing light bulbs in a violation of union rules. Or so goes the allegation. I can't figure out how our country is stronger when we get rid of several hundred specialized workers. Local